Thank you for tuning in to the World Overcomers podcast. On behalf of our senior pastor, Andy Thompson, we appreciate your continued support and generosity. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to receive updates when we post new content every week. To learn more about World Overcomers or Pastor Andy, please visit worldovercomers.church. Enjoy the message.
And we're excited that you're with us. Amen. How many have a Bible or an iPad or device? Throw something above your head, wave something at me. All right, let's look at the Word of God together. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6. I have a message from the Lord for you today. So glad that I have a message. So glad that you all here to hear with us, saith the Lord. Judges chapter number 6. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, just one verse. We looked at that for just a little bit, but Judges is going to be our main passage. Can you jump on your feet with me for just a moment? I know. Up and down, up and down, up and down. It's all right. That's okay because it makes you stay young. Hallelujah. Keep them scrumping them legs. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. That's right. Stand on your feet for just a moment, and we're going to read the Word of God together. Give me 30 minutes. I'm going to share a word with you. Judges chapter number 6, beginning a reading in verse 11. I don't know how familiar you are with this story, but it's a familiar story. It says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And the Lord turned to him, the angel turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family.' And the Lord answered and said, 'I'm going to be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" And 2 Timothy chapter 2, just verse 19, says, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows them that are his.' The Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows who belongs and who don't belong. The Lord knows who's supposed to be here and who's not supposed to be here. The Lord knows them that belong to him. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." Title of my message this morning is, "I Belong to God, Divine Intervention." I belong to God, divine intervention. Bow your head, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak, Lord, just now. Some wonderful truth that you'd have for us to see. God, I pray that in these next 30 minutes or so, you'll open our eyes. We want to see. Open our ears. We want to hear. Open our hearts. We want to believe and receive what you say to us. Lord, we have sung. We have prayed. We have sung prayers. We have heard a word on giving already. And so, God, now just seal your purpose in us in these next few moments, and we'll praise you. Send your word and heal us. Snatch us from death's door. We'll bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I belong to God, divine intervention. If I can draw your attention to just that verse, verse 19, that says, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows them that are his.' The Lord knows those who belong to him. The Lord knows those who are his." I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a nevertheless situation. I would contend that if you live long enough, you're going to have to find a way to say, "Nevertheless, God is still able. Nevertheless, God, this is going on, but nevertheless, God. They laid me off, but nevertheless, God. This person's sick, but nevertheless, God. This person just passed away, but nevertheless, God. Still, God is involved. Nevertheless, spite of what I see, God is still God. Spite of what I see, God is still sovereign. He's still in charge. He's still is the king over my life. I still belong to him. I'm not going to allow the circumstances to break me away from him. I'm going to be connected to him. I'm going to be committed to him. I'm going to be his child. One of the differences, and I was just this past weekend, was my mom's birthday, and we were back at home, and we were kind of going around telling stories about my mom and my dad, and we talked. It was my mom's birthday, so we were telling stories about my mom, and it's so interesting. If you grew up with both your parents, I know a lot of us grew up with just our mother, but if you grew up with both your parents, there's just a difference in how mom's mom and how dad's dad. Not the same. And maybe there are some similarities, because maybe if your mom was the only one, she just had to do both seats. But if you had both your parents, then how your mom is and how your dad isn't necessarily the same. When you're in pain, when you hurt yourself, when you fall, hurt yourself, something happens to you, your mom runs in with love and compassion and tenderness and scoops you up and hugs and kisses and puts something on the boo-boo. And oh, my God, your mom is just so understanding. And oh, my Lord. And we talked about my mom. And oh, my gosh, just the way moms love you is just different. It's just a whole nother kind of thing. When dads... If you hurt yourself, one of the things your dad says is, "What were you doing?" It's, "I'm sorry you're hurt, but what were you thinking doing that?" Moms will stop you because they don't really want you to hurt yourself. Dads will let you learn. Well, he'll only fall off of that one time. Well, if he does that, it'll only happen one time. Your mom will say, "Don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch that." Your dad will say, "Don't touch that. All right, I told you, don't touch it." And now if you touch it, well, there you go. Well, let's put something on that burn, because there is a questioning around your sense. I think that when we walk in this relationship with God, a part of belonging to God is God asking us, "Well, what are you doing? Well, what exactly were you involved in? What exactly were you about?" This is something we almost don't like. This we're so used to our moms. We're so used to our mamas. We've been so mama'd, and I love it. I love my mom. We've been so mama'd that we just want the healing without giving an explanation. We want Jesus to show up no matter what. We want God to show up no matter what. We want the Lord to be there no matter what. We find ourselves in nevertheless situations, and we want God to heal whether or not we belong to him or not. Whether or not we belonged there or not. Good parents will say, "Well, you shouldn't have been there after dark." I never really had a curfew, because I learned early on growing up in the inner city of Boston that the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out. Sorry, this is old. But I had to be in by a certain time, because everybody that got shot after a certain time. And I didn't want to get shot. I was the kid that my friends, my hood friends, because I grew up across the street from my dad's first church was across the street from the projects, so all my boys was the sons of the single mamas that lived in the projects, and so we got to a place where my boys couldn't go anywhere really without me. They'd be like, "Andy, come pick us up, because my mom won't let us out the house. She'll let us out if we're going with you." So I have to come pick them up, and I go pick them up and drop them off to all the parties, and then I'd be like, "Okay, y'all gonna meet me back here," and I bring everybody back home and have my own little bus service. And my point is that I was careful, because I realized trouble was in places. Help us, Holy Ghost. That trouble hadn't happened at certain times. The devil didn't make me do nothing. I planned to do it. Okay. I was the one that had the van. I was the one that knew where the spots was. I was the one that had blankets in the back. I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm the one that had made a mixtape. Remember the mixtape? Anyway, I'm the one who knew how to put Luther mixed with a little bit of DeBarge, with a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm so out of date. I'm the one who knew how to. I was the one who knew how to make somebody feel a certain way and be like, okay. It wasn't the devil. The devil wasn't doing that. The devil didn't buy condoms. All right. That I found myself in trouble because of me. It was me. It was me. It was me, oh Lord, standing and needing the prayer. I wanted to blame everybody else, but the devil didn't make me do that. And I realized that I couldn't just have his protection without an answer to his question. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. So stuff is crazy. Nevertheless, God's foundation stands firm. Things are tough. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. This is Martin Luther King weekend. This is the day before Dr. King's birthday. So we are all standing here because our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, folks, some are marched because they had faith nevertheless, even when the system was not for them. We can't be less than them. We are birthed out of folk that had a nevertheless attitude, even when the system was turned against them. We can't hardly halfway handle it when our stuff is late. We halfway mad if we ain't set at the right time, let alone we were birthed from a people that were not allowed to eat there. Because there was somebody that said, well, this might be what the system is, but nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. It's almost, I don't want to say it's almost easier, but in a sense, when the rest of the ground is sinking sand as a result of if you are held out from every other ground because of your color, because of your sex, or because of who you was with, if the other grounds aren't available to you, then of course you're going to lean on Christ, because all the other grounds aren't even open to you. Let's not let Dr. King and those people march for the doors to be open, and now we got more confidence in those grounds than we have in the solid foundation that they stood. The folk that marched us there were the folks that believed, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription that God knows who belongs to him. God knows who his children are. God knows who the believers are. God knows who's praying and who ain't praying. God knows who's consecrating and who ain't consecrating. God knows who's a Christian for real and who's a Christian when it's convenient. We don't want to say amen on that. We have just come to a place now in which we just want to add Jesus to everything else. But the truth of the matter is that a relationship with God requires that I answer, where am I? Where am I going? Judges 6, it's just an interesting time in the children of Israel's lives. And I'm going to be speaking on Gideon for a little bit, I think, because I'm already running out of time and it's been so good. But I think it's apropos for me to talk a little bit about the children of Israel and battling against the Midianites on the weekend. I'm wearing this Tuskegee Airmen. On the weekend that we're supposed to be celebrating Dr. King's birthday, because the thing that happened with the Midianites is that the children of Israel were impoverished by them. It was poverty that made them cry out. They were so impoverished by the Midianites. And if you know anything about the history of the children of Israel, I suppose you should as a result of the Bible, but it's even better for you to know your own people's history. Don't know biblical history more than you know your own people's history. If you black, you ought to know black people history. If you white, you ought to know you white. Irish, know your history. Italian, know your history. Chinese, know your history. Spanish, if you're Mexican, know your history, because your history is significant. You cannot go forward without knowing where you came from. And your umbrella will always be weak if it's not dug down deep. You go to the beach, that umbrella down and deep, because your covering is held firm by your foundation. And a part of the reason why many of us are rained on is because our covering ain't right, and our covering is not right because our foundation is shaky. I'm going to talk about the children of Israel and their situation. Part of the reason why I'm going to talk about it is because it applies. Children of Israel, to know their history, you understand that God calls Abraham. Abraham leaves Babylon, leaves there, goes to Canaan, a promised land that the beginning of Abraham's faith is called to go to a place. Start of it is that there's a place that belongs to him. I don't know what his situation was in Ur. I don't know. I almost feel like he was just renting. I know it was a serious city, and I know it was popping. I almost feel like, what would be the lure of him to leave? He was in a good place. It would seem to make sense to me that he was leaving that place because he had an opportunity for better. He had an opportunity for greater. He had an opportunity for ownership. He had an opportunity for land. The whole thing starts, if we see to Abraham, the whole thing starts with a mission and a vision around a place that you belong. Whole battle going on. I'm not going to comment on it. Whole war that has restarted simply because the children of Israel, the right now today Jews, are still trying to claim some place where they belong. I'm not commenting on it one way or the other. No, may take no commentary on who's right or wrong. My only point is there's something about belonging in a place. One of the challenges for us, if you look like me, not everybody has this, because there's all kinds of different folk in here, and some of you are from someplace. My mummy's here, who's from Jamaica, so Jamaicans don't have this issue. But for if you're African-American like me, it's kind of hard because you feel like you belong here and you don't. When I'm around all my Jamaican family, it's almost that when they sing their national anthem, there's a pride, Jamaica land we love. Whereas when we're singing God Bless America, land that I love, land that took my people from their place, land that raped my great-great-grandmama. That's why I look like this. Oh, come on. This why this hair is curly. This ain't no kit, baby. This is natural juices and berry. What is this? This is Massa. Oh, I need a witness. And I think Pastor Andy done got a kit. No, baby. This happened because of Matt. That's what this is. This is not S-curl. This is Massa curl. Right, elder, took us from our home, took us from our place, took us from our land. Don't go to Paris and not go to Ghana. Don't go to Hawaii and not go to Ghana. Don't go to Greece and not go to Ghana. Don't be so westernized and Europeanized that you are totally robbed from your own history of your own people, because a people that don't belong anywhere are a people that are always in a weak position. Oh, I need a witness in the building. I know I'm supposed to be preaching, and I'm trying to say something. I'm trying to move forward. But what happens is, when the Lord gives Abraham and says, this land is yours, this Canaan, this is your land, and they're there, but at the time, really, they're a nomadic tribesmen kind of folk. They're people who their wealth, their riches are transient. They can load everything they have on camels and go someplace. They can go anywhere. They have money. They have some wealth. They have some things. They got some gold. Abraham's very rich. Isaac's very rich. Jacob's very rich. But they're rich in cattle and rich in camels and rich in horses and rich in stuff that's movable. They're rich, but in a flighty way. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you with a different kind of wealth. I'm going to speak this over the whole room and over everybody and all of us, because I hope you're making the connection. I don't think it's too hard to make. I think that we have settled for stuff and have not demanded place. I speak place. I speak place. I speak land. I speak property. Praise God for all your hoop. Praise God for all your cars. But if your wealth is transient, if the stuff you have is easily movable, I would like to suggest you not as wealthy as you could be. And that God's design for a people is not to be so easily movable. So much so that when the children of Israel get there, when Abraham gets there, there's a famine there. And because of the famine, they have to go to Egypt. Now, the reason why they had to go to Egypt is because Egypt's not like them. Egypt's system is agricultural. Egypt is the most Egypt is the most advanced. Egypt is not waiting on rain. Egypt's got the Nile. Egypt's got irrigation. Egypt knows what to do when times get tough. When all you have is transient money and transient things, if the economy gets messed up, if the flow is not right, you in trouble if you don't have your job. I know it's hard to say amen because it's so many of us, including me. Whereas for what ends up happening is you end up having to move and go someplace else because you're a nomadic tribesman versus someone like the Egyptians who have a system set up against drought. If drought happens to us, we're in trouble. COVID happens, we're in trouble. COVID made rich people who had property even richer. Who it affected is all of us who are only like Abraham, who have something but not a place. They go down to Egypt. They're there 400 years. They end up slaves there. But a part of what happens is they end up learning from the Egyptians how to do Egyptian things. At the end of their slavery, they learn how to no longer be transient, nomadic herdsmen and tribesmen. They leave there not only with some wealth from Egypt, but they also leave there with knowledge. The Lord delivers them with Moses, and Moses is raised in Pharaoh's house. There's a difference in the way that they ended their slavery and how we ended ours. After our 400 years of slavery, if you look like me, we ended up in a situation, and now, today, now, we are more transient than ever. And a part of what has happened now in Judges 6 is that the children, it's almost ironic, but the children of Israel are now a nation. They go in there, a family of maybe 10 to 15, 20, 25, 30, maybe there was 50 of them, and they leave there 400 years later. They leave there thousands of them, millions of them. It's like the creation of the nation happened in the slavery. They went in, a family promised some stuff to Abraham. They left their tribes. They left there knowing who they were. They left there and then went to take over a land flowing with milk and honey. They went there to fight. God fought for them to get them established in a place because they left the weakness stronger. And the strength came in them being a people and belonging to a tribe and belonging to a group. So interesting, gentlemen, that y'all are here today because you're a part of this fraternity. And if you can get in there, you had to try to get into that. You had to pledge to get into that. They didn't let anybody in there. You had to do a certain amount of, something. I'm not in it. I don't know. But you had to do something to be there. They didn't give everybody that ability so that you aren't just somebody at Central. You're also somebody that belongs to a tribe within Central because there's something about belonging. If you're in here and you're a Kappa, it's different than if you're in here and you're an AK. If you're an AKA, then that means that you're there. You belong to something smaller and something greater than just yourself, because there's something to be said about belonging. I know I'm all over the place, but I wonder if anybody understands what I'm saying to you this morning. Am I making any sense at all? I know where I'm going. It's just going to take me some Sundays to get there. So you're going to have to keep on coming. You have to keep tuning in. You understand what I'm saying to you? What I'm saying to you is the children of Israel became a people in their slavery. The children of Israel got a place after their slavery was over. They got a place. And in Judges number 6, what has happened is that the Midianites are impoverishing them. And it's almost ironic because the Midianites are, in a sense, what they used to be. The Midianites are just raiders. The Midianites are just Vikings. The Midianites are folks who just come through and just take everything. They're not a serious nation like Rome, because Rome knows how to come in, set a governor over you, put a Pontius Pilate over you, and tax you and take stuff from you and not kill you. Leave you enough to still eat. Where the Midianites are raiders. They know how to come in at the right time. You're always on the guard for them. You're always got to watch for them. It's not that the children of Israel are lazy. It's that no matter how hard they work, their stuff is stolen by the Midianites. Their poverty is not based on laziness. Their poverty is based on being robbed. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Now, I would suggest for our consideration that there's two kinds of broke people. There's broke people because they're lazy. We all know lazy, don't want to work, don't want to do nothing, don't want to work hard people. when my grandfather was alive. My grandfather went to Tuskegee when my grandfather was alive, and my grandfather was not a big man, but if I was with him somewhere and somebody asked him for some spare change, don't let them be a black person. He would go off. There is no spare change. And why aren't you working? And he would then proceed to give them a soliloquy on segregation and discrimination, how he couldn't get a job when he wanted one. And how dare you sit here and ask him for money when they marched for you to have a job and you don't have one. He just got a whole attitude. I wish I had. He just had a whole attitude. I was in Boston the other day for my mom's birthday, and I was down Copley, and I was walking through, and I saw somebody sitting there, and they had a sign that said they were homeless, and it was a young girl, and you know, and she was yelling out, "Can I have a few dollars so I don't sleep outside tonight?" You know, and so I walked by her, and I thought, on my way back, all right, I didn't have any change. On my way back, I'll come back and I'll throw a dollar at her way, and that's what I was thinking. But then when I was coming back, she. As I was coming toward her and I was looking at what she was eating, she had a salad with quinoa in it and balsamic vinaigrette dressing. I'm sorry. That ain't homeless food. My God, that sounds so horrible. If you're supposed to have some ranch and some ramen. Anyway, what I'm saying, I kept my dollar. You got something for balsamic. If you stirring up balsamic, you don't need my dollar. I don't know why I told that story. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is there's a difference. I know, mommy. There's a difference between broke because you lazy and broke because no matter how hard you work, at the end of the month, you are down to nothing. You have given everything to the Midianites. You work, they don't. You're planting and reaping, sowing and reaping, and they're sitting waiting for you to get something, and then they come through and they take it. They take it through your credit. They take it through your they pay you, but then they take every single thing they gave you back. You buy a house for $250, but by the time you finish paying it off, you done paid $600. And you've paid for 28 years on a 30-year mortgage, and you down to 2 years, and they'll take it from you in the last 2 years, even though you've paid $500,000 on a $250,000 house, because the Midianites know how to keep you broke. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to talk something. I'm trying to talk to somebody in here. I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. I'm almost out of time. But what I'm saying to you is that the children of Israel are not broke because they lazy. They work hard, Elder Paul. They sow, they reap. Matter of fact, Gideon is threshing in a wine press. He's working on food. He's just got to do it hidden, because if he does it and folk know, he'll get robbed of it. He's trying to figure out how to hide his stuff. I guess I'm mad at Trump. I guess so. At the same time, I'd love to know whose accountants are. I wish y'all could see it. I keep waiting for them to put that out there, like, Trump, pass me that number. It's just because you're in a place now where you almost scared to make it. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. I'm saying, what do you do when the system impoverishes you? What do you do when the system seems against you? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But what do you do when it seems like your people are a permanent underclass and are kept there by the system? This situation makes them cry out to God. Now, I was taught to cry out to God just because he's worthy. I was taught to cry out to God just because it's church. I was taught to cry out to God because I was supposed to cry out to him. I was taught to go to church. I was made to go. I was forced to go. I was forced to be saved. I couldn't live in my daddy's house if I wasn't saved. I couldn't live in my daddy's house if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. If I didn't have a tongue, I better make up one. Eat a mosquito. He coming in a Honda. I had to say something. I couldn't live there and not be holy. I didn't go because I wanted to go. I went because I was made to go. And church was long and hot and boring. Every now and then somebody would roll out, wow, deacon, wow. I didn't want to be there. But my mama would look down the road and be like, cry out to God. And I'd be like, hallelujah. Boy, I said, you better cry out to God. I'd be like, hallelujah. Cry out because I wanted to cry out. I cried out because I would get beat if I didn't cry out. Try to play sick on a Sunday, like, can't go. My daddy was like, oh, you sick? Church is the place to be. Soon as we got to church, he's like, come on down. Listen, my son is sick, everybody. Come on. And he just messed up mine. Pour oil on you. I didn't cry out because I wanted to cry out. I cried out because I was made to cry out. Somebody said, you better praise him. You better praise him. You don't praise him, you won't be able to walk tomorrow. You better clap your hands, they won't work. You didn't get paid to play Bruce. You didn't get paid to play the drums. They put you on them drums when you like, oh, you like to bang on stuff. Get on them drums. They made you. I wish I had a witness in the bill. Get paid. You better get your hips up there before you paralyze tomorrow, because the Lord will strike you, you know. The Lord don't like ugly. I never cried out because I wanted to. I cried out because I was forced to. The children of Israel cry out to God because of poverty. A prophet comes and says, the problem is y'all don't listen. We'll just let that one go, mommy. The problem is that y'all hear a word but don't listen to it. Oh, words are coming, but you don't heed the words. And so you're still broke because no matter how much words come, you'd rather look at TikTok booty shaking than look at the ones that are telling you how to make wealth. You scroll right past that. That's boring. Can't get an amen on that one. That we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Somebody start talking about something too deep, and if they're not hollering at us and just yelling at us, if they're not doing that, then we just get a deaf ear. But what the way that God will move over us first is through knowledge. But what do you do when you don't listen? When we don't listen? When our people don't listen? What do you do when your nation don't listen? I'm contending that divine intervention happens because you cry out, because you realize your people is in trouble. And I don't know if you can be us and not cry out to God. I don't know how you you can be us and not pray. I don't know how you can look like me and not fast. I don't know how you can look like me. I don't know how you do it. If you got daughters, you believe in God, well, bring somebody to marry your daughter. I don't know how you are looking like me and don't have a prayer life and don't talk to God and don't, should nobody have to make you cry out. You too broke to not cry out. You too impoverished not to cry out. The Midianites are too strong for you not to cry out. Should nobody have to say nothing to nobody in here about blessing God? You way too broke not to praise him loud. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. You don't have enough. The Midianites are too strong. The system's too against us. What do you do when you get to that place? You need divine intervention. And we need a nevertheless God situation. And it starts with us deciding that we belong to God. That I can't just trick God. I belong to him. I'm committed to him. I'm a believer. When somebody asks me what I am, I say, I'm saved. Everybody else is so bold about what they are. We got folk more bold about their pronouns, and we scared to tell somebody, I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm filled with God's Spirit. I have a prayer life. Folk are fussing about their pronouns, and you won't pray over your food at the job. You better pray in Jesus' name. You better, because the Lord knows those who are his, and you need to know that you belong to him. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. In times like these, you need confidence and know, oh, no, no, I belong to God. Oh, no, no, no. Nevertheless, God's foundation is not moving. The Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows them that belong to him. The Lord knows who his people are. And we must start by saying, yep, 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 I belong to God. Praise God for being Kappa Alpha Psi. I'm looking at y'all. That's it. Praise God for that. But you better belong to God first. You better be a, you see all of me, you better say, I belong to God. Kappa Alpha Psi, Central, Black people, you better belong to God. You better know. In times like these, with the stuff that's going on, with stuff that's happening in the world, with the things that are taking place, you better know in whom you believe, and you better be persuaded that he is able. On Christ, I don't want to hear about all your other rocks. On Christ, the solid rock, you better stand. I'm not just being churchy. I'm trying to talk truth in here. You better know in whom you believe. You better know who God is in your life. You better know. You better know you belong to him. You belong to him. So I want everybody to bow your head, close your eyes. I want everybody to wrap your arms around yourself. If you're watching around the world, wrap your arms around yourself. I'm not giving you any choice. I'm going to be my daddy in here. You ain't got no choice but to be saved. I'm taking your choice from you. I'm going to be Gilbert Andre Thompson Sr. I'm junior, but I'm going to be senior today. I'm going to make you be saved. Got no choice. Because clearly, God has you alive for just such a time as this. Clearly, the Lord must have need of thee. You're not alive by accident. So you got your arms wrapped around yourself. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. We all about to get saved. If you watch around the world, we all belong. We all about to get saved. I want everybody to repeat after me. Every elder, every person from the front to the back, from the least to the greatest. Everybody say, Lord. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for me. I open the door of my life today. I invite Jesus to be Lord of my life. I invite Jesus to rule over me. I surrender right now. Come on, say it like you mean it. Right now, I declare I belong to God in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we break every generational curse. You said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us in order that the blessings of Abraham may come to the Gentiles by faith. And so by faith, we believe you are able. By faith, we believe you are God. By faith, we believe you have saved us. And we belong to you. And so since we belong to you, we are looking for angels to intervene on our behalf. And we surrender our lives to your will and to your way. Thank you for saving us in this room. Thank you for saving us around the world. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the gift. Thank you that we receive it freely, but it costs us our surrender. So we surrender to you all that we are and all that we have. And we give you our mind, our heart, our soul, our strength. We surrender all to thee, blessed Savior. We surrender. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for reclaiming us. Thank you for rebuking the devourer on our behalf. Now heal and touch and set free. God, I'm praying this week miracles will take place in our lives. God, we always ask you for miracles of healing, but God, we're asking you for financial breakthrough here in the beginning. May this first quarter, may we be so blessed that we don't know what to do with it. God, may we be so blessed that we don't know what to do. God, may we be trying to find a financial plan. Lord, may we have so many opportunities we can't handle it. Bless every business owner. Bless every single person that's working for some. God, bless the company. Lord, make them give the benefits to us, God, and the promotion to us. God, break the yoke off of us. God, get these Midianite boots off of our necks. We are not lazy in here, God. Rebuke the robber. Rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Oh, God, we'll praise you. Oh, God, we'll give you praise. Oh, God, we'll give you thanks for what you do, what you say. You're so worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord today. Come on, can you put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord today?
Thank you for tuning in today with World Overcomers. We hope our message has empowered you to embrace the balanced victory that God has designed for you. If you're ever in the Raleigh-Durham area, we would love for you to be our guest on Sundays at 10 a.m. Be sure to share this message with someone today, and be sure to follow us on all of our World Overcomers social media platforms. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and see you in the next episode.